Just turn to somebody next to you and say, you are part of a city set on a hill. And before too, not before long, not before too long, the whole town is going to live like we do. Do you believe that? Do you believe that the church can actually accomplish what God has purposed it to do? Okay, if you want to turn in your Bibles to John 17, what we're going to do this morning is, rather than kind of preach, is just kind of chat a little bit, but talk through some of the things that God said last week during the 21st Century Church weekend, from the Thursday through to the Sunday, and then link that in with the prayer this week. I believe that last weekend was a very important weekend for Kingdom Faith. And it wasn't just, you know, a few meetings. We're going through a whole process of change here, obviously locally, but also with Kingdom Faith, in terms of how God wants to express the call and the purpose and the vision. And Mal Fletch in particular obviously worded things in a way that helps us to understand why we live the way we do. And he was talking about, what do you want your city to look like in 2020? Because what you want it to look like will determine the actions, the decisions, and the way you live and what you do now. Because what you do today determines the future. It determines outcomes down the road. And when I was praying during the week, one of the things that God started to talk to me about was watchmen and gatekeepers. And when you look through Ezekiel, Jeremiah, Isaiah, other books, Kings, both 1 and 2 Kings in the Bible, there's quite a lot about watchmen and gatekeepers. And generally, when you talk about watchmen, or when the Bible talks about watchmen, it generally seems to be speaking about watchmen in the light of prayer and intercession and the prophetic kind of, or prophets, or the prophetic nature of God's people. And how it talks a lot about being watchmen on the walls of Jerusalem. Now, that's not just a physical thing. It was a spiritual thing. It was prayer. It was intercession. But also, it was often when God spoke prophetically, he linked it in with being watchmen, you know, on the walls of Jerusalem and speaking prophetically to the nation. And so this week for us is a week to be watchmen, where we're praying. And we're not just doing something practical, though we'll come to that in a minute. It is a spiritual thing we're doing this week. And it, obviously, we don't put in things in the program just to fill a week or to have something for the sake of it. We're having this week because it's part of what God is doing. It is part of his purpose. And in the light of last weekend and the weekend before about Israel, it's pretty good timing for this week of prayer. And now God is calling us to be watchmen, and there's a prayer, an intercession, a breakthrough dynamic. There's a prophetic aspect to this week. But also, when you look at the word gatekeeper, the gatekeepers were very practical kind of guys. They stood and opened and shut the gates. And so they did a very practical thing. So the gatekeepers gave permission to what came into the city and what went out of the city. The watchmen spiritually were given permission as to what came in and to what went out. And so God has called us to be both watchmen and gatekeepers. So we have a spiritual responsibility in prayer, in praise and worship, in the prophetic, in understanding the signs of the times, in understanding what God is doing and saying, and that we have a responsibility to be praying in the purposes of God. Amen. That prayer is saying, this is what God has said, this is what God wants things to be like and look like down the road, but we're praying those things into today. Now, the prophetic nature of that is we are living today what God wants the town or the city or the region to be like in 10 or 15 years' time. So take, for example, a young person. In the schools work that goes on locally, and also there's a growing kind of thing around the nation called New Generation. And part of the vision and part of the purpose in that is the nation will be in 15, 20 years' time a reflection of the kind of people that are in education now. The values, the beliefs, the philosophies that 10, 12, 14, 16, 18, 20-year-olds now are developing and learning and growing up in, that will shape and determine what our nations are like and what our communities are like in 15, 20 years' time. And so what happens in the places of education now will determine a lot in the future. And so part of the vision with New Generation is to see a move of God in every school, in every college, and every university around the nation, impacting key people who are going to end up running business, being government, being politics, being education, in the media, in arts, in society, in all different levels, in all different aspects, and that we see a move of God now changing lives, changing hearts, changing values, bringing a whole different culture into this generation, so that when in 10, 15, 20 years down the road, they are the key players in society, that we have a God-driven purpose in our nation. So you look at people like Karl Marx and others who relate to communism, who when they were in education were actually studying theology or were looking into the things of God. Now they never found somebody who was born again, who was filled with the Spirit, and so they developed their own philosophies, ideas and ideals, and we can see the consequence of that over the last century. Now just imagine what might have happened if one of those guys had found Jesus and got born again and filled with the Holy Spirit. What might not have happened as a result of that, but then also think, what might have happened if they got born again, filled with the Spirit? Because they had a call on their life to be a leader, but it was connected to completely the wrong motivation. And so when we think and we bring that into our current day thing, when Mal Fletcher was here, he spoke a lot, particularly on Saturday, about the millennials. Now, the millennials are kind of up to your 22, 23-year-olds. He does a lot of work with Gen X people, which is like your early 20s to early 40s and that age group. And I was surprised that he didn't speak more about that whole age group than he hardly really referenced. He just made a few references, like that age group is now coming into its real time of influence in the world. But that's about all he said, but he just focused on the millennials. Now, there was a phrase that he used that I thought it was excellent, that we need to, as older people, equip this younger generation so that they can carry the future on their shoulders. Now, if we think the people at school now are going to determine what society is like in 15, 20 years' time, then we need to focus resources, time and energy on reaching a whole new generation that's coming through. That was good. Now, what does that mean? That means that the focus of our lives are not on ourselves, but on the ones coming after us. It's looking and saying, what does the nation or what does the city need to be like in 15 years' time? Now, if it needs to be like that, where the culture of the day is no sex, please, we're teenagers. That needs to be the culture of the day. In 10, 15 years' time. That the peer pressure in society is, no, you don't have sex until you get married. Because now, in 2006, there's a young generation who have set themselves apart saying, no sex, please, I'm a teenager. So I'm living something now that I want my generation to look like in 15 years' time. And the generation after me is also going to live like that and look like that. So I'm living something now that is a prophetic voice, a sign and a symbol in my generation saying, no sex, please, I'm a teenager. I'm waiting until I get married. What does that also do? That begins to perpetuate a whole new way of marriage as a culture in society, which then perpetuates the strength of family life in society. You see, and God has called us as Christians to bring a revolution in society. And that's what was being spoken about last weekend. The church is here to bring a revolution. Just by the fact that the way we live our lives in a certain way is a prophetic voice. But it's not one that judges. It's one, like we heard, a city set on a hill, that the town looks at it and says, man, that's what the town could be like if it was under God. Amen. Let's just look at a few things that were said last weekend. Just want to read through a couple of things just to, because we need to understand what, where we're praying from this week, okay? That we're not praying from a place of, well, God, do something, or I'd just like to see this happening. But what we're doing is we're saying, what does God want the city to be like in 15 years' time? What does he want the 25-mile radius to be like in 15 years' time? What does he want our nation to be like in 2020? So therefore, what does he want it to be like? That's what we need to pray now, but that's what we live now. Amen. It's bringing the future into today. It's not just looking for a hope, but you see, what we begin to pray has to be followed with action that goes in line with the prayer. That's why the watchman aspect of the praying and the prophetic and or the spiritual aspect is obviously one half, and that's important. But then there's the gatekeeper part, where is what we actually do in the town in terms of reaching into people's lives or in the community. South Homes, there's various people reaching into that particular area of the town. At Bennett's Road, there's a number of people reaching out into that street and some other streets around. You see, what is the thinking in the hearts of the people working in those areas of town? It's, we're getting into people's lives now. We're bringing something that people aren't living, something that people don't know about, because we want this street to be in 5 years, in 10 years' time, the way we live and the way we are as a church. So what they're doing is they're looking down the road saying, we're going to reach these people, not just as an evangelistic outreach, not just to see one or two people saved, but to bring a whole new culture, a different kingdom into this place, so that people in this street are saying, man, the church is relevant, God is alive, because we see the difference that God makes when he touches a person's life, or when a family is turned around, or when a street has something going, where so many people have got born again on that street, that the feel and atmosphere on that street is different to the one next door. It's a revolution, and that's what motivates the people who are reaching into these different parts of the town. King's Church are reaching into the Needles area a lot, and that's really their kind of main focus as a church in the town. But the understanding and the relationship with them is grown, and Phil Playford, who's the pastor there, the whole thinking with them is, if we're going to see the Needles change into a place that God wants it to be, where the atmosphere is different, lives are changed, it's a completely different community, then we as the church need to be in that community now, living a life and demonstrating something that that place could look like if it was under God. Amen. See, God's helping us with our thinking. If we see what we do as just a job or an evangelistic opportunity or something the church wants us to do, then we miss what God is wanting to do. If we understand that what you do and what I do is going to determine what the town or the community, the city or the region will be like in 10 or 15 years' time, then we see the value, the purpose and the power of what we do today. And why we live what we do today, why we reach into people's lives today, why we come not just with words but with a way of living, convictions, values, the way we are in relationships, the way we are in marriage, the way we are in family life, the way we are in business, the way we are in whatever situation, the way we use our finances, all these different things, or the way we raise our kids, all these things are a prophetic voice, but that prophetic voice has to be outworked with actions. Amen. That the town or the region sees and says, that's what it could be like if it was under God. Yep. And that, in one sense, is the motivation for our prayer this week. It's not just to try and fill loads of slots and cover everything in prayer, so we've covered it in prayer. It's actually to come into that room, which is going to be at Roffey in the gatehouse there. There's signs up, and you'll see where it is when you're driving the driveway, signs to show you where that prayer room in this week is a place to get in there, and whether it's with your covenant group, whether it's with a ministry you're involved in that's reaching out, whether you're in there as an individual, or whatever that purpose of that particular time is that you're in there, it's getting in there saying, right, God, we're praying in what you want this situation to look like in 10 years' time, but we're praying it in now so that we see the beginnings of that change happen now, because we're going to go into that place and follow that through with action. So we're being a watchman over it, praying in the purpose of God, seeing what God wants to do, but then we're gatekeepers, where we're going to go in and open up opportunities and say, right, we're coming in now to bring that change, to bring that difference. Amen. In one of the sessions last Friday morning, Pastor Colin was speaking about the superstructure of God having built the foundations here, and now he wanted to build the superstructure. And he used a verse from 1 Corinthians 3:9, which says, "We are God's fellow workers, God's field, God's building." And he said, "People are the building blocks. Every person here is a block, a building stone. Everybody has a place where they fit in this superstructure." And then he followed through by saying that every one of us needs to know our place in the superstructure, but in the superstructure, we will do things in the new way, which is different than when we're in the foundations. And so it's like we need to be available for the Holy Spirit to metamorphosize us into the people that we need to be, not that suits us, but that is going to suit the world. God wants us to be metamorphosized so that we're here not ready for what we want, but ready for what is out there that God wants to do. James Maloney said a powerful thing in his session, which is the next one, saying that, if I can find it, saying that God is positioning the church in the community for the purpose miracles for the lost to take place. And he was saying that now God is moving in such a way where he's positioning the church, and there are certain things that will only happen out there that will not happen in here, because there are so many people out there that God has got miracles for and got things for that will only happen out there. That's crazy, man. Yep. Amen. And so we need to understand that as God's positioning the church in the community, there are purpose miracles for the lost. But we have to position ourselves where God wants to do those things. Amen. Some other things that were said. The superstructure of the building tells you what foundations are in place. Now, God's done a lot of stuff here. There's a lot of foundations, a lot of width, a lot of depth. And therefore, obviously, God wants to build something wide and high, something that's going to be effective and significant. But he said here, for the building to stay in good shape and condition, there are some important things for each stone. There are three things here. One, that each person is to keep spiritually healthy. Secondly, each person needs to know their place within the superstructure, working in a new way, not in the old way. And thirdly, that you don't have to be like anybody else, because you're called to be you. Every stone fits, every stone has a place, and God wants to show every person where they fit. Every person has a place in the superstructure. And not just, I was a foundation person, so I'm not in the superstructure. See, the foundations, or what God wants to build, is spiritual and physical. There's a spiritual dynamic to what's going on, but there's also what God does in you. So as we come into this new time of building this superstructure and seeing God do what he's going to do, there's a spiritual dynamic to what we're doing. There's something in the spirit. But there's also something in you that you bring into that, something you carry, which is a spiritual dynamic, which is part of helping to build this superstructure and define what it is. James Maloney's session. He then talked about being God's household, how God brings all these stones together, saying that how they fit together, move together, and how they are joined together. And he talked about a householder's anointing. And he said a householder's anointing is where the people of God stand alongside one another, they work alongside each other, and they pray through to breakthroughs with each other. They're together to build the house. And he was saying also that it's not just Jesus that is the Word made flesh, but God wants the Word to be made flesh through the church. That we have a mandate from God to take what we've seen, what we've heard, and what we've experienced, and then to minister that to other people as if it was Jesus himself. That's pretty awesome. Now, what happened in the book of Acts, you know, when Peter and John and the others stood before the religious leaders because they were preaching about Jesus, they were not holding back. And the religious leaders said to them, didn't they? We don't want you to preach in that name anymore. You've got to be quiet. And they said, look, we can't help preaching about what we've seen and heard. It was so real, so life-changing, what they'd been involved in, that they just couldn't keep quiet. And everything they did as if it was Jesus himself. They came with such an authority. They came with with they went like as ambassadors, going in his name. They were so bold, so confident. And even when they came out of that pressure, they said, God, give us even greater boldness. Man, they were hungry. They were passionate for the purposes of God. So they were like, not just happy with what they had. They said, God, greater boldness. And you stretch out your hand to do miracles. Amen. And so these guys, it's the word made flesh through us. We've seen and heard and experienced something. And we want to minister as if it was Jesus himself. And in following that through, God is giving us strength for strategies, for evangelism, for reaching out, to reach the people where they're at in the community. And he's positioning the church in the community for the purposed miracles for the lost to take place. And then he's following through saying everybody needs to be spiritually employed. Every person needs to have a job, knowing their place and involvement, which releases their gifting.
That's right.
Now, he brought that into a great thing here with Daniel, saying that Daniel was positioned in the empire to unlock the giftings, the potential, listen to this, and the productivity of God's purpose. God is positioning the church, and he's positioning you and me, okay, in the town, in the city, to unlock giftings, potential, and the productivity of God's purpose. God wants to bear fruit out there. God wants to do things in lives out there. So he's positioning us in a place where it's going to be a place of faith. It's going to be something new, something different. It's going to be a place maybe that's not overly comfortable at times. But that's where God wants to release the fruit and the productivity of his purpose and what he wants to do. And like Daniel, he positioned somewhere for a purpose. And that's what God's doing now. He's positioning us for a purpose. There's lots of things kicking off, aren't there, in society at the moment. And all sorts of things coming to a head in the news and all kinds of stuff. And that's why God is speaking about the church being public, the church being like a city set on the hill. Something that is visible, something that has a voice, something that is followed with action, reaching into people's lives, touching the community in different ways, relationships with local authorities, the church being relevant, having something to say, because it's living something that the town will be like in 10 or 15 years. Amen. Then what else? As we came into Mal Fletcher, he started to talk about the church, God's people being contemporary is not enough. That we are contemporary so that we can be prophetic. He was saying that, you know, we can be contemporary, we can have music and the look and all that sort of stuff that is up to date and everybody can relate to, but that in itself doesn't do the job. He said we are contemporary so that we can then be prophetic. See, Jesus came and he spoke and he related to people where they're at in the way they could understand and relate to. But yet there was something he lived that was different than what people had seen and known. Therefore, in his words related to them as in that culture and in that situation. But then his lifestyle demonstrated something that was a prophetic kind of sign and a symbol to them. And they could see, man, this is what we could be like. This is what it could be like. That's why so many people love to follow Jesus, because he lived something and was something that just people wanted: freedom, forgiveness, healing, health, whatever. Amen. What kind of city do we want in 10 years' time? What we do now will determine this, and what we do now will set that in motion. Now, we've spoken or preached over a number of years to the young people, and when they're old enough, relating to some of the younger ones than young people, in terms of relationships and purity and all that kind of thing, because the understanding and the whole thinking behind that is God wants to use you as a sign and a symbol in your generation. That's not easy. Living that kind of thing. But somewhere there has to be somebody that lives something in the midst of the oncoming traffic that is different. One of the phrases I thought was, I don't know if it was his or whether he got it from somewhere else, but he used a phrase I think Bill Wilson actually said, it's not what you accomplish in life, it's what you set in motion. And that's what we want to do. It's not just what we can accomplish and what can we notch up, but what can we set in motion in a generation, in an era of time that brings change in the society. And that's what God is talking about the church. He's talking about the church being a people of influence. And something else that was spoken about was there were five spheres of influence when the Apostle Paul began to come into Europe and began to preach the gospel. And he saw an international businesswoman saved, so it affected business. He saw a jailer, the civil servant, saved, civic leadership. Then there were politicians that were saved. There were education and academics that were saved. There were people in the arts saved. We would link in media also into arts now. And it's, and Mal was saying last week that when Paul came into Europe, the five key areas of society, he began to impact those spheres of influence. And for us, there's a sixth one, as you said, which is science and technology, which is much more of a current day one than they had a couple of thousand years ago. But you see, what is God doing? God is changing the emphasis from being in full-time ministry and some of the thinking that we have in the church, that is the pinnacle of the Christian life, to be in full-time ministry. You know, God is bursting that bubble that, you know, you know the best Christians are the full-time ministry. You know, you have to have a platform to do this, that, the other, or work full-time for the Lord, you know. And God is popping that bubble, and God is talking about the body of Christ. He's talking about us as a team. He's talking about the place of influence, the place of education. He's talking about the arts, the media, technology. He's talking about where the world is humming and living and doing its stuff. That's where God is wanting to reveal his kingdom. That's where God is wanting to reveal the church. That's where God is wanting to reveal himself, in those environments. And so God is kind of helping us to understand that he's revaluing and repositioning the church, not just to do it all within a building, but out there in the everyday situations of life, week in, week out, Monday through Sunday. And God is putting value that whatever you're called to in your life, whatever your work is, whatever your job is, whatever your career is, whatever situation you're in, like Daniel, God is positioning you in that empire, in that business, in that world, to unlock his purposes, to unlock his productivity, to unlock his kingdom life. That's where the Holy Spirit is being, well, that's how the Holy Spirit is being released to move. The emphasis is moving away from having incredible, powerful meetings that draw the people to a people who are living and moving in the power of God, that see the power of God moving through their everyday lives, where there doesn't necessarily seem to be an atmosphere for it, but because you're there, there is an atmosphere for it. Amen. It's no longer saying one day God's going to do that, but saying, well, I'm here now in 2006 and 2020 is going to happen now today because I'm here. Oh, living something that is a prophetic example of what the town or city could be like in 10 years' time. Yes. Amen. One of the other things that was said was the church of 2020 is going to be predictably unpredictable. Why? Because it's going to be out there in the community doing so. It's going to be so different, I believe, in 10 or 15 years' time than the emphasis now, where we have meetings and a few groups and a few other things, and it's more emphasis on what we're doing. That's why I believe there's going to be a metamorphosis of the church, that we've got to morph into, not that little fella, that cartoon character. Whatever. Couldn't talk, could he? But Could he talk? I never really watched Morph, but anyway. But we've got to become what God needs us to be in the situations where people need us. Amen? Just one other thing before we just look at a couple of things to do with this week. Last Sunday morning, Mal spoke about Acts 21, where Paul was going off to Rome and the people around him were kind of not wanting him to go, and they're afraid of what was going to happen to him. But he said, I'm ready. It's like he was saying, I'm already living there. I'm in it. I'm living the future now. I'm kind of there. And he was saying his decisions today define the future. One of the phrases he used was, let your future determine your decisions, not the present experience. What a great way of looking at something. Let your future determine your decisions, not your present experience. See, our present experience could say, well, look at this in society, you know, look at the way young people live their life. Well, we'll never change that, so what's the point? Look at the way marriage is breaking down, so why do anything? What's the point? It's not going to change. Or there's certain religions or movements that want to have a great influence on society. What can we do? Well, what's the point? It's just going to happen anyway, so we might as well just embrace it. That's like basically being a watchman and getting off the wall and saying, well, things aren't going the way we want it to, so let's get down and go and do something else. That's like just leaving the gate of the city open saying, well, we can't stop it anyway, so let the flood come in and determine what goes on. God's saying to the church, no, it's time to stand as watchmen, looking clearly, you know, and praying in the things of God, prophetically understanding the signs of the times, but then being those gatekeepers that open and shut the door also to the things that shouldn't be happening, because we're praying against things, we're standing against things, but also the actions that we take in our lives, open the gates and let the people come in that need to be there, because we've gone out to get them and bring them in.
Come on. Yes.
So there's a different mentality. It isn't just, here's the city, let's get everybody in it. It's, here's the city, but let's go and get everybody to bring them in.
Amen.
Yes. So in doing that, you come out of the city, you make yourself vulnerable. Because you come out of the four walls, you come out of the securities, you come out into a place where you have to trust God, where you become vulnerable, where there are attacks of the enemy that could come. Because God is wanting to break us out of the safety of the way the church has been, generally, for so long. Amen. Let the future determine your decisions, not the present experience. Why do young people say that are born again, that have made this decision? No sex, please, I'm a teenager. Not just for themselves, but because they want to stand for something in their generation, to be a prophetic, not just voice, but an example. To say it is possible to live your life, have great friendships, without having to have sex and get into all kinds of issues and potential problems. That you can live stronger than the peer pressure. You can live stronger than the culture of the day. Because I'm here to change the culture of the day. You see, that is the sound of a generation that is rising up. The sound of a generation rising up saying, we're here, we're stronger than the peer pressure, we're stronger than the culture, because we're bringing something new, something different, something else. That's cool. And that's why in one sense we need to see that our lives are not just about us, but they're about the ones coming after us, and what are we investing in them, and what are we helping to provide for them to enable them to be the most prophetic generation yet in their time. Being the house, building the house, means you have to be future minded. See, sometimes we can, you know, well, why do we do some of the things we do? If we just look at what we do as a job or as a task, and we don't understand why we do or what it's leading to, then we just see it as filling a need or things like that. But if we understand why we do what we do and how that affects next week, next month, next year, 3-5 years' time, that what we do today determines the outcome down there, then we'll understand that actually, man, I want to be involved to build this house. Not, I don't just mean just the church, but you see, we're talking about building a city. If we understand that everything we do, from parking a car on a Sunday morning, where we treat somebody like they're royalty when they get out of their car, smile, greet them, welcome them. I know the guys are out there with brollies today, bringing people in so they don't get wet, you know, and all that kind of stuff. You know, through to laying hands on the sick and seeing somebody healed, or living your life in a certain way, saying, no, I don't live like that because I'm living for something different that I want to see happen in society. Values and all that decision making. If we understand that's why we do what we do, everything from what we see is, well, what's car parking got to do with it? Everything. Because actually parking cars is part of building the house, is part of building the city. That's just as much ministering to somebody as preaching the gospel or laying hands on the sick.
Amen.
How somebody's greeted and welcomed and how they feel, what feel do they get when they come into the church? That's just as much building their house and building a city on a hill. Because it defines a culture. It defines an environment that people are part of. It defines something, not just in a building. But you see, if we have that kind of culture, that when people come in, they feel totally welcomed and accepted. Man, I feel like I belong here. They'll get the same when they come into our homes. They'll get the same when they come into our lives and when we come into theirs. Because we carry the culture of something in us. You see, it's not just about a nebulous thing out there that we're praying for and hoping for. It's that we live something and carry something, that we are the culture. That we are that prophetic voice. We are that sign and symbol in our thinking, in our attitudes, in our motives, in the way we decide things and choose things, the way we pray, the way we believe, what we allow, what we don't allow. That is carrying the culture of how we want the city to be in 10 or 15 years' time.
Come on.
Amen. If you see that what you do now will affect the outcome down the road, then you will see why you need to be involved now. What you do today affects future outcomes. Sometimes we don't get involved because we don't understand the future that is at stake. We don't see anything sometimes beyond the immediate. Sometimes we can have thinking, what can the church do for me? Rather than, what can I do to actually build the house? Sometimes we can have in certain age groups sometimes, or you can have in a certain social group or something. People can easily say, you know, what can the church do for me? And at the end of the day, we are the church. It's a non-question. What can the church do for me? Because it's like, well, you are the church. You're it. It's not I'm the church or the leadership of the church or that group is the church and kind of I'm over here. We are the church. Whatever age group, whatever color, whatever nationality, whatever background, we are the body of Christ. We are the church together. And the question is, not what can the church do for you, but what can you do or what can we do to build the house, to carry the vision, to build the city set on a hill?
Yes.
Now that is a challenge because that takes us from what can happen to me rather than how can I give of myself, even though I might get nothing out of it. You know, there's a point in you know, when somebody's emerging in leadership or you've been involved in something, there comes a point where the penny has to drop and you step from, whether I'm going to get anything out of this or not, I'm still going to do this anyway because it will bless others or benefit others or they will receive something from it, even if I don't receive anything. That is the kind of attitude we want to have. It's like giving of ourselves, say like the South Home guys, or in Bennett's Road, or in the Roffey area, or going into the prisons, or Tinsley House, or whatever it might be. Some of the guys from other churches going to other parts of the town. You see, what's the understanding? I'm going to go and reach these people. I'm going to get into their lives and them be in my life and all that sort of thing because I want to see them receive God, because I want to see their life change, because I want them to have everything I've got, because I want to see God transform this town and for it to become what He's called it to be, what He's purposed it for be. Now, at the end of the day, you know you're going to get something out of it because you're part of it and it's going to be like, awesome, this is great. But the motivation in that isn't, well, I'll only do it. What do I get out of it myself? How do I benefit from it? And it's like God's just shifting that thinking in our hearts, in our minds, in our lives. Amen. Now, this week, we have an awesome opportunity. God wants to speak this week. God wants to encourage you. God wants you to help see things. What we're doing is we're praying this week about what we want our town or our city, what we want our region, our nation to be like in 10 or 15 years' time. But we're praying it into today. What does prayer do? It takes hold of the promises of God. It takes hold of what God says prophetically, and prayer pulls it into today. It pulls it from a place in the spirit. You see, when God promises, God is spirit. When He promises, it's in the spirit. When God speaks prophetically, it's in the spirit. Now, even if it goes inside of you, it's still in the spirit. Because then what we have to do is pray through that in the spirit, but then there's an action that follows through what we pray through in the spirit. You see, if being in the spirit was enough, then Jesus would never have come out of heaven. He'd have stayed in the spirit as the word of God in heaven. He wouldn't have had to have come down and be manifested physically to release something into people's lives or onto the earth. God could have just done it from there, somehow, like a zap or something, you know. But he actually had to come on the earth and put his feet on the earth in a physical form to release what he wanted to release. And that's where we're at now. God is taking things from the spirit and he's wanting to release those things and manifest those things in people's lives, in communities, in cities, so that we see the purposes of God unfolded. Amen. So that's what this week is about. It's praying for young people, for the next generation. When I say young people, all those up to 20, 23, this millennial generation. It's praying for every age group. It's praying for our city, for the council. It's praying for family life, for marriages. Praying for businesses. What are we doing? We're praying from the point of view that in the next 10 or 15 years, that this town, this area, the culture, if we can put it this way, is a kingdom one or a Christian culture. Now, do we dare to believe that that is what could happen? You know, one of the things that Mal said last week, which we've said quite a bit, he said, you need to speak saying, I am, not I will. And we've been saying some of those things like, there's no such thing as tomorrow. Stop saying God will do something down the road. God will. The world is looking down there somewhere. But actually, today is the day of salvation. Today, God is on the move. This is who I am in God. This is what is happening in me and through me. It's like there's a present day reality of what God is doing because we believe God is in the now, doing things in the now. But at the same time, we're the reason why we live like we do, make the decisions we do and doing the things we do, because we know that will shape what things look like in 10 years' time. So we have... There aren't going to be any covenant groups this week because obviously we're going to be praying. Like a few weeks back, we had another week of prayer. Our covenant groups, you're just going to not meet, but meet in the prayer room. There's the sign-up sheets. Hopefully loads of people filled them in after the first meeting this morning. But you can fill the time slots in, covenant groups to meet. And what would be great to do in your covenant groups is really pray through what does God want to accomplish through your covenant group this year in 06. What has God said to you about this year? What fruit does he want to bear through your covenant group in your community? Maybe if you're in a village or a more very focused kind of area of the town, you know this is your kind of geographical area. What does God want to do in that area? How does he want you to work? What has he said about 06? How does he want you to, what does he want you to do as a result of that? What action is needed? Because what we don't want is just a week of prayer. And at the end of it, it's like we've got all these words all over the walls and all these promises, but then it's like, okay, what's next? When's the next meeting? When's the next visiting speaker? You know, because that's being super spiritual. That's living in unreal kind of spirituality. And through this week, God wants to earth what we're praying so that in that process of prayer and what God is saying, it's like, this is what it means for me. I need to take this action, or we need to take this action in this ministry or this covenant group or this particular situation. This is how we need to move now. Maybe God this week will say, don't do that anymore in this situation, but now do it this way. God might put things on your heart. There's things like the storehouse that needs developing, the food, the clothing, and eventually furniture. All that needs to really be kind of developed. Somebody after the last meeting came up to me and said, I'd like to get involved in that. What can I do? Is anybody running it? You know, I'd like to be involved. So it's like, great, let's get you involved then. And there's already possibilities they've got relating to their work, you know, of different situations, the work they do with people. It's earthing the spiritual thing. So we have a main prayer room downstairs in the house there, and then there's two other prayer rooms upstairs. So the main one downstairs is going to be obviously where a lot of the stuff is. There's maps in there, there's various things to pray about, and or just to help you pray. But what if you're going in as a part of a particular ministry, like if you're going to the prisons or Tinsley House, whatever, you know, you might be going there to pray with all the people involved in that, and so you're going to hit certain things in prayer, you know, great. You might be going to your covenant group. We hit things relating to your covenant group. There might be others of you that have really got a burden on your heart for a particular thing, like you might want to pray for Israel, or you really got in your heart the business community in Horsham, or you really got the schools and, you know, this move of God in schools, and you want to pray for schools. Well, if you go back there and there's a slot and you're like, man, I'd really like to pray for schools in that slot, write your name in and put praying for schools in the area there. And other people, as they look at that and say, hey, that's praying for schools, that's on my heart, I'm going to join them and pray. Okay, so that when you get there might be 3, 4, 10 of you that are hitting schools or businesses or the local authorities and just praying for God's purposes and hearing God in that context. What does God want to do? What does God want us to respond in that way? Amen. So that's going to be kicking off tonight at 7 o'clock in here. We're meeting for a couple of hours or so just to worship, to pray, just to begin the whole thing. Just kicking it off with some momentum, and then the prayer room will open up at about 9 over at Roffey then. It's going to go through till next Sunday morning throughout the whole week. So if you haven't had the opportunity yet or you haven't signed up, then go and find some slots. Obviously, we want all the covenant groups to come during the week. The evenings were fairly busy last time. But you can come and fill in that the slot with your covenant group, but come at other times as well. Because it's not just a program of prayer. From last week and the week before to do with Israel also, there's so many things going on at the moment that are all just coming to a head, aren't there? All the stuff in the news and relating to those cartoons and all the things happening around the world as a result. And they're just signs of the times, aren't they? The end of the world is nigh. Not with a big board and a somber face, but signs of the time, signs of the end times are here, aren't they, eh? Man, if what's going on doesn't quicken us to respond with prayer and action and understanding that, man, this nation has changed in the last 12 months more probably than in the previous 5 years. Now, how much is going to change in the next 6 months, in the next year, in the next 2 years, with everything going on? You don't have to talk. We understand the stuff reading between the lines we're talking about. And where's the church? And this is why this thing about the church being a city on the hill is so important, and what we're doing in the community at all different levels is so important. So this week's a key year, very important for determining future things. And then that prayer room is going to be open after this week as an ongoing prayer room, okay? And it's going to be available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for people to go and pray in that building, in that room afterwards. So it's going to be a powerful week. It's going to be a great week. But I believe it's going to be a week also where, as well as God speaking about things, you got the opportunity, and there's two rooms upstairs where one is going to be more set aside for meeting with God and just seeking God if you want to go and spend time with God like that. And another one is also available if there's just too many people to get in downstairs, then there's another room upstairs for people to go and pray and get in there. So it's like a little prayer house, a house of prayer over the next few days. Just one thing, because I never got to John chapter 17, did I? No, you've all been waiting there. When's he going to get to that then? Let's just quickly read this, John 17, verse 20. This is Jesus when he's praying. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, and that all of them may be one, Father. Sorry, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I'm in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity, to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you love me. Interesting what he says at the last bit there. May they be brought to complete unity, to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Interesting, Jesus prayed that. Then it wasn't long after that, day of Pentecost, the early believers got baptized in the Holy Spirit. They began to see thousands getting saved, miracles happening. They laid down their lives. They were selling things, shared everything they had in common. In Acts chapter 4, it even says that they were of one heart and mind. And it says that the fear of the Lord, when you go into the next chapter, chapter 5 with Ananias and Sapphira and the deception they had and they fell down dead, it says that fear gripped the people. Now, Jesus prays in John 17, may they be one. Brought to complete unity, to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you love me. Man, a few months, a few weeks later, 2 or 3 months, 4 months later, what Jesus prayed was happening. What he prayed was happening. It wasn't just that he prayed that prayer in John 17, and today in 2006, we're still looking for the church to be in unity, and one day that prayer will be fulfilled. Jesus, well, he saw from heaven, but he saw the fulfillment of that prayer once the believers got baptized in the Holy Spirit. They saw the outworking of that prayer. So what did he do? He prayed something that God wanted him to pray for the church. It's like praying the future to happen today. And it wasn't long before that prayer that he prayed was being fulfilled. So this week as we pray, we're not just praying that, okay, one day this thing will happen. We need to pray with an immediate expectation for God to fulfill what we're praying through us. Because we're living our lives in a certain way. Jesus knew that when these guys were going to receive the Holy Spirit, something was going to happen in that city. Things were going to change. Then amongst those chapters, Peter and John were accused of filling Jerusalem with all of their teaching. Wow. So what did Jesus pray? He said, may they be one so that the world may see. And the next thing is, all of Jerusalem's filled with your teaching. You guys shut up. And they're like, we can't keep quiet because we've heard, seen and experienced something that we just have to speak about and exercise and live out. Amen. So Jesus' prayer was fulfilled pretty quick. And that prayer's still going through today. Let's all stand up, shall we? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you that we are people of the future living it out today. That we're a prophetic people. Father, we're living things in our lives that are not common in society. Father, I thank you for the young people in the church here, that they've chosen to live their lives amongst their peers and in their generation that is often so counter to the way the peer pressure says you should live or do things. Father, I thank you for that setting apart in these young people where they're saying, basically, no sex, please, we're teenagers. No sex, please, we've got something much greater to live for. We're living for the purposes of God. We're living to see our generation be like us. It might take 5 years, it might take 10 years, but we're living now as a prophetic sign and a symbol to see the generation even coming after us live something that we are now, but it becomes the culture to live by. Father, I thank you've called us as the church to live like that in society, that the way we live now is the way the culture of society will be in 5, 10, 15 years. That our family lives, our marriages, our relationships, the way we are, the way we treat people, the way we are in the community, the way we love people, serve people, meet needs, the way we relate to people, the way we are involved in business and in education, all the different facets, that is such a prophetic example, Father, now, today, in 2006, of what this town could be like under God in 2010, 2015, 2020. Amen. Father, I thank you. You've been working in our hearts and our minds and our understanding. So that this week as we pray, We don't just pray prayers, or we don't just fulfill something as a program, but we understand that we're praying in the future today. We're praying in your purposes today, that you've called us to be salt and light today. You've called us to be a city set on a hill today. You've called us to be a prophetic sign and symbol for people's lives. A sign that people look at that points them in the right direction. And a wonder that wonders, where did that come from? Because that points to you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. You've called us to be that supernatural people. Thank you, Jesus. 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 One of the things we need to do practically after the meeting is to go and look at all the different prayer sheets and actually go and sign up as to when you're going to come and pray during the week. Because it starts tonight, and obviously once you walk out the building, you're out of the building, it probably slipped from your mind. So we encourage everybody in the first meeting, go back there and find out when your covenant group's meeting and what time it's praying, and then get in there and pray at another time. And because we understand the future is at stake here, and it's determined by what we do today. And we don't want to live in a nation or a community or an area that is overrun by humanistic thinking or other religions or whatever the society says. This is the latest trend. We're here to buck the trend. We're here to buck the trend, and not everybody's going to be our friends. And we've got to live with that. We're not man pleasers, we're God pleasers. And we want to be wise in the way we do things. We're not against people. You know, it's a spiritual battle that we're in. That's why the prayer is so key. See, prayer creates a space that then we have to follow through with action to go and fill that space with the purpose of God. And that space is being positioned in the community to see the productivity of God take place.
That's right. Yes.
And so we're creating space this week in prayer, but then we follow that through in whatever situation.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just turn to somebody next to you and just say, I'm partnering with you as part of that householder's anointing, to fit together, to move together, to be joined together, to see the purposes of God fulfilled. Amen. Let's just take a couple of moments for anybody that maybe doesn't know Jesus this morning, and you've never said yes to him, and you've never begun a relationship with him. We just want to give you the opportunity to respond this morning. Maybe we haven't said much about who Jesus is and what he's done in our lives, but we did say that in order for mankind, for people, us, you and me, to be forgiven and to know God, then Jesus had to come out of heaven onto the earth. God came down to reach mankind. He didn't expect mankind to reach him, because God is holy and mankind, we're not in our own right. And Christianity is the only belief on the planet where God actually comes down to man so that man can know God. Every other belief, every other religion basically says that man has to attain or reach some form of godliness. Christianity is the only faith, the only belief where God comes and does something for us, because he knows, because he's holy, we can't reach him unless we've been made holy. And the amazing thing about God is he comes, like Jesus did on earth, to come and seek us out, to search, to find us. And he said, because I've got a destiny, I've got a purpose, I've got something for your life. And I want you to live in the good of it, to know really why you're here and what life's all about. And there might be somebody here this morning, or a number of people, and you're saying, well, I've never known Jesus. I've never said yes to him. We just want to take a few moments to, if you want to take that first step, to begin a relationship with him. And if there's anybody here this morning saying, yeah, I'd like to say yes to Jesus, I want to begin that relationship, take that first step. If you just want to raise your hand so I can see where I'd just like to pray for you. Nobody else is looking around. If there is anybody here this morning. Father, I just pray right now, if anybody's here that doesn't know you, that you would just touch their hearts this morning. You would show them who you are, the reality of who you are. That you've got a purpose for their life. You've called them by name. You know them already. But you want them to come and know you. Father, I thank you. You just reveal how incredible you are in their life today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Just grab a seat. This week, there's no covenant group. It's,